97 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. 343-0106 for the telephone and the text line. Speaking of the text line, Van, I don't have any more information. Yeah, but we're going to look into this, and if we can look at this, Philip, or if you got some time back there, getting a report here on the text line. Van says four black police SUVs and one armored vehicle running with lights and sirens heading east on Spring Hill Avenue from St. Ignatius. So once again, four black police SUVs and one armored vehicle running with lights and sirens heading east on Spring Hill Avenue from St. Ignatius. Now, I don't know what it is. I mean, my initial reaction would be that was Governor Kay Ivey trying to get out of town after what had happened yesterday. But that is not factual. That is completely made up. Don't know, but we will look into it. Once again, this report from the text line, four black police SUVs and one armored vehicle running with lights and sirens heading east on Spring Hill Avenue from St. Ignatius. Go Impalas. So we'll let you know when we get more info.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything on my feeds or from my sources yet. So right. we'll keep checking
in. Our source Van is the first I had heard of that, so we'll look into it. It's also time to check in with our buddy Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com. Read his work in the Washington Examiner and the Mad Jones Trilogy for sale right now in amongst paper towels and four-wheelers and kids' bike helmets and the newest from Apple out there on Amazon, right? You can also
Amazon.
Buy it.
Amazon.com, and plus there is at 5 o'clock on Thursday, if you want to go to the Pascrestan, Mississippi bookstore, I'm doing a book signing there.
And you're west this morning as well. You're kind of waking up hazy-eyed because you were watching your Saints play last night.
Yeah, that's why I'm a little hoarse. I was there in the dome on the 50-yard line, and it was wild. I mean, the Saints typically produce zany endings. Usually, if it's zany, it's also heartbreak. This is only about the second time I can remember in history that zany turned into triumph. It did, and it was wonderful.
What a game. Did you think Lutz was going to knock that through there at the very end?
No, I didn't. I figured this was, you know, this was yet another just truly bizarre Saints heartbreak. And when it went through, people were all around me. It wasn't like they erupted and started cheering and beating their chests. There was this dumbfounded, sort of happy look, but sort of, can you believe it? I'm not sure what I just saw with my own eyes in the last minute kind of look, and literally people start saying, okay, where's the flag? I mean, where's the penalty flag? Because everybody is so conditioned by now to having great Saints moments ruined by some bizarre penalty flag, people still did not believe that it was real. And then finally they did, and people just, it was weird. They didn't start yelling and cheering, they started laughing.
Now, speaking of penalties, you were telling us off air that the person that you sit by at all the Saints games is the person that filed that lawsuit against the NFL refs?
This guy has been in these seats for decades. I never knew his name. He wears a Saints jersey and a 1932 or 34 era leather strapless helmet on his head at every game. And the friend that I took to the game last night texted me this morning because he saw a story with the picture, and he said, isn't this the guy that sits next to you? And sure enough, the guy that filed the lawsuit that actually won a district court until just about 2 days ago, Louisiana Supreme Court threw out the suit, this famous suit against the NFL was by this guy that's been sitting next to my family for decades.
How about that?
Unbelievable.
Small world.
He is such a character. And it turns out he's a very respected guy. He's from Covington, Louisiana. He was the head of the civil division of the district attorney's office in St. Tammany Parish. And
he's from the North Shore, so he's got to be respected.
I mean, exactly. And yet he's this goofball at the games. It's a riot. Only at Saints games. They're so zany, bizarre, unique. It's just unreal. But
where do I get one of those old style leather helmets.
Amazon, right next
Amazon.
To
Amazon.
When I'm ordering the Mad Jones trilogy, I can get that helmet and some paper towels and some and some more toothpaste. Quinn, a couple things here back at home. You know, I have been waiting for what would be the first, the first response from Montgomery, from the governor's office to the opposition to tolling of the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project. And I thought we saw the first strike yesterday with removal of State Senator Chris Elliott from the A-Trip 2 committee.
So she's doubling down. She's,
yes.
Okay, I'm dumbfounded. I'm absolutely dumbfounded. I cannot believe what this lady is doing. I don't get it. I mean, granted, she's not likely to run for re-election, so what does she care? But something's got to give here. She is the exact definition of in your face. Hardball with no leadership. I'm dumbfounded.
Yeah, I wonder if she hides behind the veneer here, and so we can get into the house of cards here that who may be pulling what strings. But it's this kind of this is the logic I use, Sullivan logic. Remember back in the day when they had all the kung fu movies on. And they would have the guy that was the biggest kung fu butt whipper would be this old guy that looked, he was like hunched over and stuff like that. He could, you know, barely move. And then when the bad guys came in, he'd be pyop, 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 mm-hmm. you know, knocking everybody to the floor. Yeah, I wonder if Governor Ivey's kind of, she seems like a nice woman, somebody who has stayed and in her what she says, and she's measured and all that. In public, she seems, you know, like she's on an even keel all the time, and then behind closed doors, pyop, 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 pyop.
Why though? What's her point? What's her goal? What is her
to punish? To punish, okay, for opposition.
But what does that accomplish?
You got to ask her, man. I'm trying to figure that one out.
How does that make anything better? It doesn't even make anything better for her.
Well, she went and did a tour of road work up in Birmingham, you know, late last week, and kind of a victory lap around there and what's being done with LDOT money. You know, that was the first jab, and then this letter that goes out yesterday didn't even go to Senator Elliott first. It went to Bill Britt, and then he had to ask, Senator Elliott said he had to ask for the letter that said he was off the A-Trip 2 committee, and the governor wished him, I think, success in future endeavors.
I'm baffled. I'm going to try to get to the bottom of this.
Well, and I'm looking at it this way. We're right up against the break, but we'll come back and talk more about this, that his replacement on this A-Trip committee, another senator from South Alabama, Senator Figures, right, who's been in Montgomery a long time, but right, this is somebody who's voted against the gas tax. And if we remember that discussion during session, that was the way to get on the governor's bad list, is to vote against the gas tax. That was a signature piece of legislation she wanted moved. And, you know, Senator Figures voted against that. Senator Figures, I think, if I remember correctly, spoke out against the governor signing the abortion ban law in the state. And then not only is she from another party, but I mean, this is somebody who has been opposed to some big things for Governor Ivey, and then you appoint her to the A-Trip 2 committee. And is it punishment or reward or both? We'll come back and talk about this more with Quinn. 816 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Continuing our conversation with Quinn Hillier and getting a lot of text here on this, too. And by the way, we'll take your phone calls here after the bottom of the hour. I want to hear from y'all at 343-0106. But right now, the text coming through. Hey, Quinn, there's a this came up yesterday on my show, and it's a lot of people texted and emailed about it. They're doing the same this morning. Do you believe that the appointment here, it seems ham-fisted, but I got to ask you, do you think the appointment of Senator Figures was anything played into that with Governor Ivey trying to absolve herself from this blackface controversy?
I can't imagine. I mean, that would be such a weird way to absolve yourself of what
I agree.
Basically a non-controversy anyway. But I don't know what the lady's thinking. I have to say this. I mean, again, poll opponents, yeah, they're upset that they lose Chris Elliott, but I can't imagine that Vivian Figures would be for toll. She knows what her
she was very quiet. You know, I asked this, and I don't know what's, and I'm going to try to get Senator Figures on the show to talk about it, but I know that during the run-up to what happened 2 weeks ago, I kept asking, I said, I see this truly as a nonpartisan issue. I thought there was great political hay to be made from anybody who's representing people, because from all walks of life, people, you know, from all parties, all walks of life, people were saying, man, no to the tolls. I said, but the Democrats here in Southwest Alabama were very, very quiet. I heard nothing. And I wondered about that. I said, you know, I wonder why we don't hear anything. And so I don't know how the senator would feel or vote on that.
Well, the thing to do, I mean, obviously you're going to try to get on, even apart from the tolls, now that she's on the authority, I'd love to see her come up with a plan, show some leadership that Governor Ivey is not showing. Vivian Figures could be a heroine here by saying, look, I'm going to get Group A together, you know, name some people, and we're going to work this out. We're going to find several solutions, present it to the governor. We're going to get this bridge project off of Ground Zero. That would be very good. But I don't know. I don't understand what Kay Ivey is doing. But I hope all of your listeners are peppering the governor's office with emails, with phone calls of outrage, not about the Vivian Figures, because she might be helpful in a strange way, but about the governor's just absolute asininity on this issue.
We've got quite a few texts of people wondering whether this was the governor's decision or whether someone else is kind of pulling the strings there in Montgomery. My question is, and I haven't thought about this until this morning, but by putting Vivian Figures on the committee, a Democrat, as far as we know, the only Democrat...
Tony Cherry out of Choctaw County, I think, is also a Democrat. So there's one other Democrat.
Okay, but with all these road projects going on around the state, if, you know, there's one or two dissenting votes, and those votes happen to come from a Democrat, even if Vivian Figures is doing what's in the best interest of South Alabama, to the rest of the state, that'll just be another Democrat voting against Republicans. Is that possibly what she was doing?
Now that would be very devious. If that's the governor's game, then shame on her. But it's as if she is from Southern Alabama. She's from, you know, from the southern half.
Okay,
southern
okay, but let's talk about what's real. So she's from Camden. Okay, but Camden, listen, there's a split, and I don't know where it is. It's somewhere north of Thomasville. There's a split, and that part of the state, it doesn't matter that they're in the southern part of they look towards Montgomery. They're part of that influence sphere out of Montgomery. You talk to folks up there, you go to Wilcox County and Marengo County and Hale County and places like that, they feel way more connected with, at least this is anecdotally, I know, I spent a lot of time up there. Those people feel more connected with Montgomery than they do Mobile.
Well, she certainly is acting like it. Not to be crude, but she is shooting her middle finger at all of us.
Sure she is. That's not crude. I think it's accurate. And let's talk about the political, this is the maybes of it. How does this play out in session? You know, there's a big move here for prison funding. This is a big deal in our state, or any other issue that might be a signature issue for the governor. There's going to be, I mean, she's got the lieutenant governor that's opposed her on this. She's had Senate President Pro Tem Del Marge oppose her on the tolls as well. I wonder if this plays out in session early next year, if there's any kind of scalp taken.
Yeah, she has hurt her own cause in the legislature. I mean, I don't understand where this benefits her, you know, unless there's some moneyed interest that she cares about, because politically, it's a stone cold loser for her in terms of actual votes in Montgomery. She is hurting herself. Look, okay, we can keep talking about how bad she is. How about some solutions? There are so many people that have put forward, including you, so many solutions. What I want to see is her appoint a special committee to study the issue, come back in 6 weeks with four different options, and do something constructive. I'll serve on the committee. I volunteer.
Well, I think it would be good. Is one of my laments through this whole process was that it was so overly simplified, and I think on purpose, that either you were for the Taj Mahal full freight plan with the full toll, or you were against a bridge. That was such a, I was going to say oversimplification, but it's not even that. It's just false way to look at this. I agree with you. We should have been offered, here's the plan, here's the full freight plan, you know, here's the gold plan, here's the silver, here's the bronze plan. On financing, we could do this and have less here, or we could have more here if we use a, you know, P3, those kind of things. We weren't offered that. And it's not just we, the people. In the legislators that I've talked to, they weren't shown anything like that either.
No. There's no proactive roll up your sleeves, let's solve this. Nothing like that. And look, when I ran for Congress in 2013, I made the bridge a big issue. I was the first candidate talking about it. Others ended up doing it, talking about it too. But there are different ways to go for federal funding. And again, I don't know why Richard Shelby isn't helping.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just in Louisiana last weekend. Since Katrina, they have had two interstate spurs go down from Interstate 10 into the marshes. Just immense, huge, brand new things that weren't there before. Pensacola just got a new Bay Bridge. Of course, we know Montgomery just got a new, you know, a newly redone thing, and a whole new section up in Birmingham. Why is everybody else getting federal funding without tolls and us not?
Solid questions. Quinn, we got to go. We're up against a break. Remind folks, if they want to get the Mad Jones trilogy, where do they go?
Amazon.com or go to Pastor Sam Bookshop on Thursday.
All right. Congratulations to your Saints, man. We'll talk next week.
Who that? Still off top. Now, I don't mean to sound rude, baby. You hurt to nothing. I want an independent woman, and she works with something. I want a slim, fine woman with some twerk with her. See, you got a lot of
appreciate it, Kane. 836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now, it's time to talk to Mitch McConnell from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. You know, we're in the heart of football season now. That means plenty of tailgating going on. Also, you got to work during the week, too. Perfect way to do both is to get a nice new truck from McConnell Automotive. What kind of deals do you have going on?
Well, Dalton, speaking of the tailgate, I think people by now have seen the tailgate, the commercial, the na-na-na-na song.
Mm-hmm.
And GMC, we're the only one that's got that tailgate, but there's so many other things to love about the truck. I just want to invite anybody that's about to buy a Ram, a Toyota, a Ford, or the Chevy, of course, you know, come by McConnell, check this truck out. It's got so much more to like than that tailgate. But speaking of tailgating, Dalton, that tailgate will do everything except buy your beer for you. So at any rate, what I'm excited about, people go to our website and hurry. We've got a limited time, 20% off the new SLT 2019 truck, and basically take the sticker price, knock 20% off, and it's a way of saving you a bunch of time. McConnell is kind of famous for not having to do the hassle when mm-hmm. you're looking for your best deal. But it's even easier when GMC gives us this 20% off, man, and it's saving over $10,000 off this new truck. And I don't want anybody to make a mistake and buy a truck without at least coming and checking this one out at our dealership at McConnell Automotive.
That is for sure. Thank you, Mitch.
Dalton, y'all have a great one.
All right, that's Mitch McConnell. You can go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, calls and texts, 343-0106. As we do that, I want to just side note, this doesn't have anything to do with what we already talked about, but it's a thing that caught me leaning this morning. Story out, it says, the 10 safest big cities to visit in 2019.
Okay, 10 safest big cities.
Big cities, so big cities, and I don't know if they actually gave a demarcation for what makes a big city. They just said big cities.
Number one, Chicago.
Well, get ready. Okay, now this story from CNN Travel. Now, I don't spend nearly the time that other talk show hosts do ripping CNN, because I think they do a good job, and I'm like, yeah, I agree with them. I'm like, hey, they got their bag, I got my bag. But let me jump in the fray on this one. This is not a story about President Trump. This mm-hmm. is a story, though, that leaves me just a regular guy, just reading the story, leaves me kind of scratching my head. So mm-hmm. CNN's story here, World's Safest City to Visit in 2019, revealed by Economist Intelligence Unit.
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
It kind of scares me. The yes. Economist Intelligence Unit. Okay.
Says, what makes the perfect city break? A trip to the museum or three? Visiting landmark sites, trying out all the local delicacies, kicking back in the evening at a local bar. Whatever your criteria, one thing's for certain. You want to travel somewhere where you feel safe and secure. Great, great second paragraph. The Economist Intelligence Unit's 2019 Safe Cities Index, or SCI, SCI has ranked 60 destinations across the world in terms of their digital security, health security, infrastructure, and personal safety. Okay. Now, here's where semantics and the nuance of words come in, because regular heels like me hear safety. I think something's not going to happen to me.
Right, personal safety.
Right. Their health security, is that important if I'm traveling there?
What exactly is health security?
I'm sure it's something about the number of people that have health care or something like that. Why does that matter if I'm traveling to a place?
No.
My health care is based in where I came from, right?
For me, health security is how long it takes the ambulance to arrive.
Good point.
To where you might have been stabbed.
Good point. Digital security. You know, you could say, what if I'm not doing anything digital on that? So we got into the parameters here. Infrastructure, yeah, if the roads are crumbling and my truck goes into a gigantic pothole that swallows it, that
not
could be an
safe.
Issue. And then personal safety, the last one. Topping the list, Tokyo. Okay, I believe that.
Okay.
I do want to go to Japan. I have never been. I want to go to Japan badly.
One problem, though, very close to North Korea. That's all I'm saying. It could happen at any time.
Didn't little guy shoot some more missiles the other day?
He did.
Yesterday, yeah. Mm-hmm. Before getting back into negotiations.
Rocket
I'll
man.
Just shoot these, and then we'll talk about how I'm not going to do it anymore. Okay, so Tokyo is number one. Singapore is hot on its heels, second place.
Okay.
Scoring a 91.5 on their, I guess, out of 100 index. I would say Singapore is probably safe, because anybody who makes a mistake gets caned. Remember mm-hmm. they cane the people out in the
oh, yeah,
streets?
And your digital files are very secure in the hands of the Chinese government. Everyone knows that.
Well, Singapore is not China.
You're right. My bad.
But not saying the Chinese aren't in there, but not China. All right. Then Osaka is third, another Japanese metropolis.
Okay.
Okay. The European cities come in after that, including Amsterdam. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think I can believe that. Amsterdam has what would be seen as vices mm-hmm. and things that would lead to violence, maybe. Those things are legalized and regulated.
Right.
So it probably that doesn't surprise me. Then Copenhagen is next on the list. Okay.
That makes sense.
So now it is cold places. You know, except for Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like cold and kind of cold cultures, too.
Yes.
Japanese culture. I love the Japanese
very
culture,
respectful.
But it is. and the Nordic states, right?
Well, remember, the Japanese had problems with these, like, famous YouTubers from America coming over and making scenes in their streets. They're so respectful of each other.
Yeah, they're not having it.
They don't like being recorded or anything.
Right. They're not having it.
No.
Keep your punk Americans off the streets. Okay. Then, so it goes down through this list. So you've got number one, Tokyo, number two, Singapore, number three, Osaka, number four, Amsterdam, number five, Sydney, Australia.
Okay.
I don't know.
I've been to Sydney. I guess it seems safe. They're probably putting that up there just because of the gun laws.
Yeah, but it's not about the opera, Sydney Opera House. So, okay.
I did see someone walk in. I mean, they keep the glass so clean at the Sydney Opera House that I saw a probably Japanese tourist walk right into a glass wall. So that's not very safe.
No, that could be dangerous. Number six on the list, Toronto. Toronto, Canada.
Okay.
It's a big city. I don't know if they say it's safe. Number seven. Okay. Here we go. This is the only U.S. city in the top 10. But okay, we're going to make this list 11 because you'll understand in a second. Washington, D.C. Okay. Now, I'm fixing to go to Washington in 2 weeks. By the way, we'll be doing live shows from Washington. I got an event up there. And I've spent some time in D.C. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time in D.C. D.C. is not safe.
No.
It's not a more, you know, I don't fear it like, you know, I'm not going to a third world country or a war zone, but saying D.C. is as safe as Osaka, Japan, I don't know that I buy that.
No, not top 60, probably not, definitely not top 10.
Number 9, Seoul, South Korea. Number 10, Melbourne, Australia. Number 11 on their list, y'all, Chicago. Remember how I said that in defining fake news, you know, most people will find a CNN story about the president or something like that. I'm going somewhere else with this for the fake news. You're telling me, CNN, in this report, that you don't question the fact that this safety security index or whatever this metric is, world's safest cities, Chicago is number 11?
The place where there's a shooting. Basically,
Chicago
every day, right?
Chicago is number 11. So I just want to point that out. So if somebody gets in a discussion, wow, CNN fake news, say, well, listen, they said Chicago was they were quoting a story where they said Chicago was the 11th safest city in the world.
That's all you need to say.
Yeah. Bottom of the list, by the way, at number 60, Lagos, Nigeria, scored 38.1. The final five. Here we go. These places make sense to me. Caracas, Venezuela, which I hate this situation. That's another place I want to go spend time, but not right now. Yangon in Myanmar, Karachi in Pakistan, and Dhaka in Bangladesh. Those were the bottom five, the most dangerous.
Kabul didn't make the list.
It's probably on there somewhere. I don't have the full list. But what does it matter after Chicago comes in at the 11th safest city, big city on the planet?
That's
out of the top 100, Chicago. And Washington, D.C. at number 7. Okay, so there you go. So when you see these headlines, this is why it's always worth, you know, you clickbaity stories or whatever that are out there. You click them, go ahead and read through and just do it's not a partisan, it's just an open-eyed analysis of what they're selling you there.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, what would be, you know, if that was an actual true story, what would be the number one safest big city in America? What would be the answer to that?
You know, and it depends from time, year to year, because you see stories like, so New York, that was, you know, was crime-ridden and had issues. Then they really cracked down with law enforcement. Then it got safe. Mm-hmm. And then the pendulum, like everything in life, swings the other way because we overdo it one way and we underdo it the other.
Right.
You know, it's just the human nature. Then New York back to being dangerous. It comes and goes. So, like in today, like right now, this year, safest U.S. city, I would probably, big city.
Mm-hmm.
Big city.
I don't know if San Diego's big enough.
Yeah, San Diego's big. I don't know if they're how safe San Diego is. I want to say something like Seattle, Washington, but I've watched enough episodes of Cops where they're in the Tacoma area and they're like arresting 16 dudes with their shirts off and jeans kicking the back of the glass every night. So, safest city in America, big city in America. I don't know. What's your guess? Let us know. We'll be right back. Hey, thanks, Kane. 852 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Yeah, better get all the shows done I can. So, They're falling fast. It's September. So I was sick. Like, I hadn't been sick in a long time last week. Couldn't do shows. It was weekend, coughing cold. Still had the coughing cold. Then the stomach bug has entered our house. Now 50%. The ladies of our house are sick.
Uh-oh.
It's September, man. This is supposed to happen like in February or something. What is
dangerous?
Back to school, here come the germs, something like that.
I guess you need to, get a hotel room?
Hide? You sleep out in the truck. I got a tent thing that goes on the back of the camper shell. I'll just be out there. Dalton, by the way, is not that I never use this stuff, but Dalton bathes around here in the antibacterial gel.
Yep.
You can smell him coming around the corners because he's just like, you just pour it on your head.
And
just...
Actually, Friday, I think there was me and like maybe one or two more people in the office, and I think they thought I was drinking in here because the alcohol in the hand solution, I was just covering my hands with it, and they're like, "Are you drinking? It's 2 p.m. on a Friday. What are you doing here?" I said, "No, I'm just making sure I'm clean."
There you go. By the way, on our question about safe cities, Don says, Mike says, maybe Chicago is considered safe on a per capita basis. I don't know. Here's the thing. You look in that CNN story, and it's stuff like digital infrastructure and healthcare. See, they put these, when you see these headlines, just read through. Personal safety was one component.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a headline, safest cities,
yeah,
you think, crime.
Mm-hmm.
Or your car falling into a pothole or something like that.
Depending on, what factors, what you make the factors into whatever list you're making, you can pretty much put the list however you want to put it, right? So
you can
save the cities, and if the actual personal safety, if getting stabbed or shot only counts for 3% of the safest cities list, then you could put whoever you want up there.
That's right. You could. That's why it's worth looking at the methodology of whatever report comes out. Yeah, was Don saying Kennesaw, Georgia. Yeah, so Atlanta suburb there said practically thinks Kennesaw is safe. Practically every citizen there has a firearm. Wasn't Kennesaw? I'm remembering something. Maybe not. I thought Kennesaw had brought up something like an ordinance that everybody had to have a gun in the home. No, I think it. I don't know if it passed or something. But let's Google on that. See if that there was something stuck in my mind about that. Anderson says Yonkers, New York is one of the top five safest cities in America.
Interesting.
Even so, does not want to make me move there. There's some of the boroughs in New York. You get in to, there's some really cool community. I don't know how safe they are or what. My sister, for a long time, and she's not there now. She's in Harlem now, but she lived in Astoria, Queens. It's pretty hometown feel, even though you're right there in New York City.
And Harlem isn't what it used to be anymore.
No, Harlem is it's cool, the area she lives in, but it's still big city.
According to SafeWise.com, and they know they're safe cities.
Right.
SafeWise.com.
Yeah, because I got the website. So
they say Virginia Beach, Virginia, the safest city in America.
I don't think I've ever been to Virginia Beach.
I haven't.
Virginia.
It's too safe. They won't let you in.
But we have to decide how big a city is, too, right? Because, there's some smaller towns. We have to figure the methodology.
And Honolulu, that. I want to go check that out for myself, see how safe Honolulu really is.
There's a weird thing that I was told about. Not this year, last year, we went to Hawaii, and I'd been twice. I went once when I was like 16, and then just this last year. But I was told before I went, or maybe I was online reading stuff, snorkeling spots and all the stuff that I was into, and it said, be careful because there's groups in Hawaii, in the state of Hawaii, in the islands, that try to get tourists to rear-end their car.
Oh.
And then they have a whole plan of, because I think it's because most people are going to fly back, and they're not going to come contest it in court, and they're going to settle or something like that. If I don't have the methodology exactly right, but that's what they're saying. I think that there are these groups that say, be careful. They'll like run in front of you and slam on the brakes, trying to get you to hit them in the back, and then they're going to claim whiplash or a soft tissue injury, and then they think that the majority of folks won't fly back, to come to their day in court, so they're going to settle. There's some kind of racket like that. So that's unsafe.
Yeah, I wonder what that group's name is, like the Rear Enders or something like that. You could try that. I mean, there's so many people that go across the Bayway.
The Rear Enders.
And there's so many people from out of state that cross the Bayway.
The backside
gang. Not a bad idea.
It was, if I, I think it is. I think it's something like that was their deal, that they would pull in front of you and slam on brakes and get you to hit them from behind.
In Russia, you see so many videos of the crazy stuff that happens there because everyone has a dash cam, because so many people try to, you know, have automobile fraud out there. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we're heading now, I guess, as Americans. If you go to Honolulu, make sure you get the dash cam.
You know, Craig says over on the Twitter feed, when I mentioned Seattle, he said, aren't most serial killers located in the Seattle area? I think it has a high preponderance of serial killers in Seattle. But Seattle, there's like parts of that Pacific Northwest that are real safe, you think. You look at it like, oh, it's just a bunch of people hanging out at Starbucks. Go watch Cops. And it's the King County. So it's the county's perspective. And then there's, you know, the Seattle-Tacoma Metro. So it's more Tacoma and King County. And y'all, they arrest more dudes that have long hair, no shirt, and jeans on. You know that look on
the
cops?
Grunge.
That guy that he doesn't know where his shirt or shoes are, but he has his jeans on. He's the guy that is most likely to try to kick out the back glass in the squad car.
Uh-huh.
You go watch Cops Seattle, Cops Tacoma. You'll see all those guys. All right, wrapping it up for now. Be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Mike Gallagher on the way next.